If not, you'd like to read with us in the book of Nehemiah. Read a few verses in the 9th chapter. You know, here in America, we've been so richly blessed with land so fertile that we can feed a large portion of the whole world. Not only feed ourselves, but have plenty to feed other people. And now we're even taking food products and turn around to make fuel to run vehicles with. We've got that much food. And, you know, it's just amazing. And yet, with all of this, you don't see Americans as a whole being appreciative to God for what God has blessed us with. And the freedoms that we have here in America, you know, for our comfort, it has been proven Americans are willing to give up a lot of very valuable freedom. And once they're gone, you can't get them back, and then you can lose your comfort real easy. And what do you have then? You have nothing. And yet, God blessed us and give us the freedom in a country that we can go vote. We have a right to stand up and speak our mind freely. And very few people in the United States take that right of voting seriously the way that they should. You know, I was just seeing in some foreign countries, they were giving reports of the people that's eligible to vote, what percentage of the population votes, and it's runs higher than in America. And basically, the thing that will get Americans out the quickest, if they think it's something that's going to affect their pocketbook, if it can be proven it's going to cost them if they don't go vote, they may get out and vote. Well, a lot of times they just think, oh, that ain't going to happen. I can remember back when I was just a young person in my teens when it was talking about prayer being taken out of school. I heard the comment made in church, it will never happen in America. The people did not go out and vote. Because they just thought something like that will never happen in America. But it did. And still it has not woke people up. Well, you know, the Bible is full of examples for me and for you. And that was the full purpose of God giving these down across time, that we might learn. You know, my mother had a popular saying with her, learn from other people's mistakes. You won't live long enough to make them all yourself. But she said there's some people that are determined to try. And, you know, that seems to be the way it is in the world. Instead of looking at the mistakes that people made in times past and how God dealt with them, we're just like a horse. We put blinders on our own selves so we don't see it. So that we can go on and say we didn't know and think that's going to get us by. But I'd like you to read with us in the 9th chapter of Nehemiah, starting with the 24th verse. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands and their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Listen, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their back, and slew thy prophets, which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocation. Now, here, it was talking about the children of Israel when they went into the promised land, and God gave them a land that had everything that they needed. When they first went in to spy out the land, it took two men to carry a pot of grapes. You know, I've seen some pretty big pods of grapes in my life where that if you picked it and put it in one hand, it was just hanging everywhere and it was really heavy. But I have never seen anything that it took two men to carry one pot. And you could see vineyards where you could take all that one vine produced and two men could easily carry all that that vine produced. But here, that's the kind of a land God gave unto them. It was in great abundance. And they went in and here the houses was already there for them. All they had to do was just move in and take over. God delivered the people into their hands. But instead of them being appreciative, they soon forgot all that God had done. And they began to turn to their own devices. They wanted to go and worship the very idols that the people worship in the land before they come in. Instead of worshiping the God that brought them out of Egypt and delivered all of this into their hands. When we look at that and we say, oh, how foolish these people were. Can't they realize what a great God they had? What a great God they were serving? What is the matter? Are they so blind? But then we look into our own history and we begin to say what God done for this nation. How that God blessed it and brought it from nothing under the greatest power on the face of the earth. And because of all of that, we look for ourselves as if a fight of our own guard is what God has said. Is why that we're like we are. Because of our intelligence, what we've done ourselves. And it's nothing that we've done, but it's what God did for us. And then you'll find here in this last verse, it said, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee. All we have to do is read the Word of God and see where America's at today. We're in rebellion against the very thing that God laid down for us to live by. We want to be known as a Christian nation, but yet we don't want to have God at our head. We don't want to walk in a way that would be looked at and being obedient unto God. Why? Because we're intelligent. We have a right to make up our own mind. But God tells you and I, if we don't obey, we're going to be called into judgment for what we've done. And he said, you're inexcusable, man. You're without an excuse. There's no reason when you stand before me that you can justify yourself with. But you're going to be called to judgment for the sin that you've committed. And in America today, things that you'll find in God's Word that He said was a blatant sin. In America, we call it everything else but sin. Do you realize they've classified about everything anymore as being a disease instead of saying it's sin? You know, used to, if a man couldn't control his urges and he just had to be going from one woman to another one, people, they referred to him as an awful name. But today they say, oh, he's got a disease. He's a sex addict. No, he's just letting the devil control him. And the same thing for a woman that's the same way. Or today, if we'll talk good, they say that it's a disease. We can't help ourselves. Our nature, we're just born prone to be an addict. It's nothing that we can control. An alcoholic, it's the same thing. It's nothing he can control. No, as long as we're serving Satan, we can't control it.
But when we turn our minds and our heart over to God, God puts within us a new nature, where we can bring these things under control, where we can live a life that is pleasing unto God and in obedience unto His Word.
You know, the children of Israel, God taught them how that they should live. He gave them the law. While they stood around the bottom of the mountain, they could see the smoke. They could see the fire. They knew Moses was up there. They even heard the voice of God at one time. And they chose. They don't want God to speak to us. Let Him speak to you and you tell us. We're satisfied with that. But they see all the evidence of God there. They followed the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. They followed that. They knew that was God leading them. And yet the minute that they got the chance, while the smoke was still on the mountain, while the fire was still there, they said, "We don't know what's become of Moses. We want after God that we can see." So they melted down the earrings and they had them of God's form in the shape of a calf. You and I today, what is it that we're bound before? If it's not God, we're coming to the place we're worshiping everything but the true and living God. We might not be getting on our knees and praying to God as they did that calf there in the morning, but in our mind and our heart, in the eyes of God, we've turned to other God. We're not worshiping the true and living God. And we can see what Israel's decisions were. And because we know they could see the fire and the smoke and all of the evidence, they went out of the morning and picked up the food that God dumped right there at their doorstep to feed that great multitude. They could see all of that and knew that it had to be a mighty God. And yet for all of that, they still did not recognize and serve God the way that they should. So readily to turn to something else that had no power. God even says He wasn't able, in other words, these gods were not able to deliver the people out of my hand. And yet you turn to them. And God would lift His hand from the children of Israel and let those that didn't even recognize God come in and possess them. Not because they were the better people, but to punish those that should have known better. We look around the world today. Our army didn't fight the people. That is nothing when it comes to the things of God. They have no power, but yet they're willing to lay their lives down for their false gods that they worship and it brings an air nation to its need. Not because they're mightier, but because God did not fight their battles the way He wants it.
And it's time for us to wake up and realize we're being called to judgment for the sins and our disobedience. Here it said, "Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs and slew thy prophet." Have you heard anything in the news about the Christian right being a little weak-minded? Anybody that stands up, any preacher that stands up and speaks out against the sins of our nation, they act like, oh, there's something terrible. They'll put them off as a bigot just because you said what the Bible said, that homosexuality is a sin. They'll say, oh, you're a bigot because you name all the sins that God laid down, all the way down to stealing and lying. They take that we can't make it without lying. That's just something we have to accept. We elect people all the time that goes to Washington that can't tell the truth if their life depended upon it. Hey, how we put them into power to control our nation, and we say we're a God-fearing people. God wants us to recognize that. It's and nothing wrong, and take the sin, and because we don't, we're paying the price. You know, if people required out of our public officials to be truthful men and women, I'm afraid the biggest majority of what we have in Washington right now would be out of office. Because, you know, me, I don't have a great big education. But, and my mind, the way a lot of the world looks at it, is probably a little weak. But do you realize we've got highly educated politicians that things that they did that was monumental, in 6 months' time when they're put on the witness stand to testify, I can't recall, I don't remember. Why? They're lying to protect their own self. And you and I today, we accept it as being all right. But God said it's sin. And then if you speak out against it, oh, there's something wrong with you. You're just being too judgmental. That's what God said. For us to cry loud and spare not. And He requires the people of a spirit-filled nation to stand and be a spirit-filled people. And if we're not, then we're selling God out. Just like what He said here. They have cast my law behind their back. You and I today, America don't want to be governed by the laws of God. Why? Because too many of them violation of it, and we don't want to live that way. We want to make our own decision, and God just let us get by. But God said, we're going to be called to judgment for it. Sin carries a price. And you'll find the Bible said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. People that's living in sin don't realize the payday that they're working for. When it comes around, they're not going to want it. You know, I've worked for a few people that was not satisfied when their paycheck came. But most of the time they knew what it was going to be for it arrived. Well, God has put in His Word so each and every one of us knows what it's going to be before we ever get there. Not that we can earn heaven. That's why He said it's a gift from God. But if you don't live according to the standard God said to live, He lets you know what you've earned. Your wages, you're going to be paid. And it's death. Not just the death of this natural body, but eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Man don't want to accept that. They think that is just too harsh. That's the Word of God. Anybody that promises you anything else when your life is in sin is lying to you and going to end up right in the same place that you are. God's Word is true, and it's going to come to pass just the way that He said. The children of Israel, they found out. Look at Israel today. What that land is like. Have you seen any of it in the news? The rock? Have you seen the sand? The dry? I realize what it is irritated. It's really wrong for the fundament. But it changed tremendously to what it was when God gave it a door. What did that? Disobedience of the man. Look at our nation here in America. They were the time. It was a fruitful land. Anywhere you want to go, buddy, it brought forth an abundance. But today, all over this land, the country, they irrigated. They do a little bit of everything. Trying to nurse the crop. They get as much as they can out of it. And yet still, it don't produce a lot of time like they expected would. Because God withheld the rain. God sent a frost when a time they wasn't expecting. God sent a hailstorm that destroyed what they thought They were ready to harvest. You went out today. Our life are in the hand of God. And we need to recognize worshiping God is better than anything else. You know, I can show you in the Bible where the man of God took his stand for God and God fed him by a raven and he had a brook to drink out of. But when the brook dried up, God had another place for him to go. And as long as the drought was going, the meal barrel did not run empty. You and I today, God's able to provide if we'll put Him first. Now, He did not promise. I'm sure that man, when the ravens brought his food, it don't tell you what it was. They just brought him his food. I'm sure there are many of a time it might have come to his mind, boy, I'd like to have a good piece of cornbread or something like that to go along with this. Or I'd like to have this or I'd like to have that. But God supplied his needs. That's what he's promised to me and you. But then, if we live for him, when we get to heaven, when this life is over, there is not a thing that we have ever imagined good to eat that's not going to be supplied right there to us. The very best. You and I, there's things that we didn't even know about that God's going to have right there for us. Supplying everything, but most of all, that spiritual food that down here, no matter how great the service was, in an hour or so, it told time you had to go home. They had to go on to some other place. You couldn't just stay there in church forever. I'm in the Word. Morning service lasted till like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And when it's over, people look at their watch and say, I can't believe it's this late. And people just hang around the parking lot. They didn't want to leave where their soul was full. And they wanted to stay where it was at. God said you can go. You can sit down with me in my soul. You can eat at my table. You and I today, we don't know what it is to be satisfied like that. But I want to. Yeah, I'm determined to find out what God has in store. Think of this. If the promised land there had grapes that were that big, what is the pod of grapes going to look like in heaven? Probably one grape be the size of grapefruit. I don't know. I just want to go and see what God's got there for us. You and I today, He made it possible. He just asked for us to be obedient. I cannot change the way the world is. I cannot make my decision or make somebody else go by my decision and how they want to serve God. But I can for myself. And you can for yourself. And when this life is over, we can stand before God and hear Him say, well done. And after all, that's all that's going to matter. You know, I realize today that the Bible is coming under attack such as we've never known before. But you'll find the founders of our country put faith and trust in God's Word. They believed it. And if it was good enough for this country to be founded upon, they educated people in this country for years with the Bible being the main thing that they learned to read. And, you know, it's a sad thing. In America today, they act like the Bible is one of the hardest books to read and understand. And yet, back when this nation, when we first picked our presidents, we picked people, and I forget which one of them's name it was. I can look it up and find out. But we picked a man to be an ambassador, I think it was to France, that was only 14 or 15 years old. And he had been homeschooled.
He had been taught by the things of the Word of God. That was his main source of learning. And he was considered to be a wise man.
And we put him as an ambassador to another country at that young age. You and I today, who would do that with most of the kids coming out of school today? It's hard to graduate them out of our public schools today that can really be looked upon as one that could go in and run government. They got to have so many years of college before they get enough knowledge to where they'll be accepted. But back then, they come out with probably a whole lot more intelligence than what we have today because they believed what they read. They trusted in God. And they put their faith in Him, and God gave them wisdom beyond their years. Today, our young people, so many times, instead of turning to the wisdom that we can get from God, we go following after those that's proven not to be wise. You know, you look at the things that are being taught. They don't want to teach about creation. They don't want to teach about the Word of God in our schools. But yet we'll teach something and be impartial when it's just the theory of evolution. No fact, no proof, just a theory that some man come up with. And yet they're willing to teach it and be in a pain. And you and I today, we think that is intelligent. God looks down. And the fool, when I realize that we're dumb before God, when I'm smart enough to recognize there is a higher power, there's a God we're going to have to come before and give an account of the life that we've lived. And if we can't teach our children the things of God and the Word of God and show them how God requires them to live, then I wonder what good that we're doing in our education. We look around, you know, I was just thinking of this last week. I seen a thing on it. It was a diagram that somebody had made. Since the time in America when we took Bible reading and prayer out of school, from that very year, crime rates started going up. And I'm talking about major crime. And it's been climbing ever since. A steady increase. You know, back before that, I can never remember of a killing going on in a school anywhere. But look at what we've had over the last few years. You know, back when I was in school, back before they took prayer out and Bible reading, I remember when we used to start the day. Every day, the teacher read a chapter in the Bible. We said the Lord's Prayer, and we pledged allegiance to the flag. That was how you started every day. Nobody grumbled and complained. Everybody did it and happy to do it. And you know what the big punishment was back then, or what your most thing it got punished for? Now and then, boys are getting fights. But the big punishment was chewing gum and getting caught doing that. Or find the boys out on the playground. It's all right to play marbles. But if they caught you playing marbles, and if you lost the game, you lost your marbles. That was punishment because you was gambling. And that gets you spanking. Today, a student can stand up and cuss a teacher and they won't spank him. Back then, the teacher would have knocked you down right where you stood. And the parent wouldn't have said a thing about it. Probably when the kid got home, he'd have got another spank. That's not the way it is today. And we think we're advancing. We've lost all the respect of everything that's important. That's why the police are not safe. They have to wear a bulletproof vest. That's why in America today, we have crowds just running rampant. You know, there was a time in the world, all the first thing they needed to do, if they wanted protection, was wrap American flag around them and walk anywhere they wanted to. The world would have raised a fire on their flag because they knew the cause.
that it carries today in America. They'll burn that very same way without fear whatsoever. We lost all respect. And it first started, we're turning from the things of God, and we need to go back to it. If we don't, we're going to find that sin is something that is going to carry such a price when we come down to the end, we're not going to want to pay it. You know, my aunt was a nurse. She's dead now. She was a nurse in a hospital. And I can remember her testifying of this man that she had known for years and had talked to him and tried to get him to go to church, tried to get him to get his heart right with the Lord. And he always said, "Goldie, I don't have time to pray. You pray." And he was there in the hospital, dying with rock dust on the lungs. And Goldie went in and talked to him. And he told her the same thing. "I don't have time to pray. You pray." And the last day that he lived, she said she went into his room and he said, "Goldie, would you get a piece of paper? I'd like you to write a letter to my father." And his father was dead. She ran and got it. And when she come back, she said she walked in and started to sit down on his bed to write it down. And he said, "It's too late. The last mail already went. It's too late." And she said he went out of the world dying, trying to climb the head of the bed, saying, "The bed's on fire. Get me out of it. The bed is on fire." And that was the last thing he said. He realized he waited too late. He didn't have time to pray when God was ready with the door open. But when it got to that door, it was closed. It was too late. He just wanted somebody to get him out of the bar. You and I, God stands today with his arms outspread, seeking to save. But if we don't come to it, when the death angel calls, it's going to be too late. Each and every one of us, God stands ready to provide. In that same hospital, and not too far apart, there's an old preacher that was dying with the same disease, rock dust on his lung. And she said he'd been for 2 or 3 days to, if they heard anything that he was saying, they had to put their lip or their ear right down on his lips to hear what he was trying to communicate to them. And she said it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. She was working the night shift. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And her and one other nurse was out at the station and said they heard a noise coming down the hall from this ward where this preacher was in. And she said, "We both jumped up and went running down there because we knew that something going on that time of the night to hear a voice like that." And she said when they got to the door, she said an old preacher was sitting on the side of the bed singing, "Lord, I've been waiting to go." And said you could hear it all over that hospital. There were 6 beds in that ward. She said every man in there was sitting up in bed, propped up on his elbow or something, looking at his old preacher, and he was singing. She said, "I couldn't even enter the room." She said, "I just stood there with tears running down from my face." Said he sung the song all the way through. Looked over at me and said, "Sister Spell, will you lay me back down in bed?" She said, "I went over and laid his hand on the pillow, picked his feet up to put him in bed, looked at him and he was already gone. He wasn't very the one with faith in him. He sung his last song. Lord, I've been waiting to go." You and I today, that's the difference between those that are ready and those unprepared. And God has blessed us and proved to us that he's able to do that he said. And he's waiting for me and for you to call upon him and be obedient unto his word. And if we don't,
when it comes down time for us to die, we may be like the man trying to climb the wall because the bed was on fire. Nobody in the room could see it burning, but he could. He could even feel the flames. That's why he was trying to get his feet out of them. God's made a way that we can lay down like that old preacher. Lord, I've been waiting to go. God, I'm here. I'm just waiting for you to come and get me. You and I have had so great big difference in me. I would rather go out that way than any other testimony that I know of. Why? Because that can give comfort to those better than any words a preacher can say. But how can you comfort a soul that knows that their loved one went out unprepared to meet God? I remember a woman asked to me, and her husband answered for God and shot his son right up through underneath his chin and out the top of his head. She looked at me and said, how do you think through the chin? Well, I remember back when I was a kid when that man had been in church and had been right with God, but he had walked away from man. He had lived all my life, and I looked at her and told her, he's in the hands of a just God. I knew there was a way. You can't ask God to forgive you when you pull that trigger before the bullet takes the brain from your head. There's no way to ask forgiveness for that. And the Bible said a murderer don't have life abiding in him. You've done passed it up. Your life is not yours even to take. It belongs unto God. And today you'll find all kinds of people that say, oh, their mind might have went, but they'll be all right. I've never seen a person whose heart was right with God that when their mind went, that they was anything other than just like a child. Wouldn't harm a soul. But if their heart is truly not right with God, no matter if they are a church member, if their heart is not right with God, and their mind goes, a lot of times you can't even have little children around them because the filth and the language that they speak is not fit to be around. You might deceive a lot of people, but if your mind goes, what's in the heart, what's going to come out? You might deceive a lot of people here in this life, but when you stand before God, you're going to be judged for what was in the heart, and it's all going to come out. Nothing will be hid. Why don't we get some song to sing? You know, here, God worked miracles for the children of Israel, provided for them, but because that they turned their back and walked away. They even slew the prophets that God sent to try and get their attention. God punished them again. You and I today, you know, I've heard people early leave church after a preacher had preached a hard message and hit them. And then leave a church and just talk about that preacher like he was something awful. My granddad had a famous saying. He said, when people would say something like that, he'd say, well, you go out here, you got a pack of dogs. He said, you throw a rock in the middle of it. So the one that hollers, the one that gets hit. Well, you know, people don't like to think about that. But if you go off complaining about the message, you're just telling everybody, it hit me. You know, the best thing to do is get on your knees and pray and talk to God and tell God about it. Lord, I see where I failed. I don't want that message the next time it preached to hit me. Lord, I want to be what you'd have me to be. I found forgiveness. Getting on our knees and having true repentance before God does more than anything else than you can ever do. You can complain, you're old and gray, and it don't change a thing. But a true repentance before God makes a new personality. Why are we saying, will you come? What's in your heart today? God looks down at you. Does he see somebody that's rebellious? Or does he see somebody that is surrendering? to what God is requiring. You know, I know rebellion is looked at a lot of times as something honorable, but it's not. A child that rebels against the authority of the parents, there is nobody that respects that child. You know, you might, as I was growing up, Dad told us that you might disagree with us, but you'll abide by it as long as you live under this roof. You get out on your own, you can make your own decisions. As long as you're here, you abide by mine. Well, you know, if parents had that kind of authority today, you know, that's another thing Dad told. Dad was a big man, and I never did worry about that, because I figured I couldn't cook him anyhow. But he told us, he said, I don't care how old you are, when you come around home, you show me and your mother respect. He said, because if you're too big and too stout and too strong for me to take you down, he said, I'll get a ball back. He said, you show respect or stay away. And I knew Dad meant it. That's why children today, they have no respect and they don't respect God, because they've never learned at home there is authority and we have to give an account to it. And if a child don't learn that they got to give an account to mom and dad, they will not accept that they got to give an account to the police department. They will not accept they got to give an account to the teacher at school. They will not accept that they got to give an account to God. You and I, that's why when a home is run right, the way it's supposed to be, it just follows right on up in the plan of God where every child learns, there's somebody over me. And you know, I've heard children say, oh, I can't wait till I get to be my own boss. Well, you know, not many people get that. Well, Trent here, he thinks he's his own boss because he's got his own business. But you know, he works for people that tells him what they want. So he's really not his boss. He just owns his company. None of us are our own boss at any time. We might think we are, but God said he's their head, if it's right. He's their head. And whether we like it or not, we're going to give an account before him, one way or the other. Either voluntarily here, and surrendering unto him, or we're going to give an account to him when we stand before him. We're going to have to do business with God. There's no way to escape it. Sooner or later, we'll have to do business with him. And I found the easiest way is on my knees before a merciful God than to wait till I come before him as a God of wrath and judgment. Today, mercy. Tomorrow, it could be wrath.